Lord Jesus, I just come before you and just thank you, Lord, for grace and for forgiveness. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for being more to this reality, Lord, that life is not just to be born and to get old and to have bills and to have diseases and to have pain and then that you die and that's it. But there's you, God. There's knowing you personally and fully. There's spending a life with you, abundant life, and then there's eternal life with joy, peace, and love, and all those good things, Jesus. And I thank you that you decided to die for me and to stand up and to go on my cross, Lord. Jesus, I just thank you for taking the wrath for me, Lord, and for anyone who's listening. I pray that anyone listening, Jesus, would just hear your words and would value you more than they did prior, Lord. Lord, we have an amazing gift in you, and I praise you and thank you for it. In your name, amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. That's just what we're going to do now, and know him more. You can catch me at letsworshipjesus.com if you haven't. I've been slow to make some updates on there, but you can go and just see some things that hopefully will encourage you on things that we encounter in this life of anger and addictions and just troubles that we have, and how I believe that Jesus and the scriptures and our faith would have us move through those things. But let's jump right into the scriptures. We're going to go and be in 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verses 3 to, what do we have? We're going to be in 3 to 8. Let's jump right in. I'm going to be in the Amplified version. Praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being guarded, protected by God's power through your faith, till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold which is tested and purified by fire, this proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumphant heavenly joy. We really have something to be happy about every day, friends, and that is the resurrection. That is the coming back to life of Jesus Christ. And just to remind you again, do you understand that Jesus Christ came back to life? Do you understand that that's a big deal? Never in history has someone died and come back to life. Never in history has someone laid down their life deliberately and this came back to life. Well, people were risen from the dead. Jesus Christ did that. We know the prophet Elijah raised a boy to life. But no one has ever prophesize their own death and that they'd take their life and lay it down and raise it up again. This is Jesus Christ. He did that for you. He didn't have to do that. I mean, when I talk to Muslims about Jesus Christ, him being God and dying for our sins, one of the first questions they ask me is, why would God become a man? And you know what? That's a really good question. Why would God want to become a man? Why would he even want to come down and die for you or me? He's God. And that's what's just so amazing that we really have to take time. I urge you to every day, thank God for what he did. thank him for coming off of his throne, coming down and being a man, being a human being, going through sufferings, man, and dying for you. But he didn't just die, he rose again. And I think it's amazing now that his resurrection has done something for you. It's done something special for you that you just don't ignore anymore. You cannot ignore this. You cannot ignore what his coming back to life has done. It's gave you an inheritance. You know, it's given you a right. It's given you a certain access to privileges. You have access to power and privileges now because of his coming back to life. And it's interesting, you know, we deal with inheritances all the time here. You know, a family member passes away and they leave an inheritance to another family member, to a child or something like that. But this is a special inheritance. You know, anything that God gives you and I, it's not like the world. Jesus says in John 14, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." It's special, you know. The Lord loves us, not as the world loves. He loves us sacrificially. He gives us life. He lays it down for us. Then he doesn't rub it in our face. He doesn't say, "Oh, I had to do this for these weak people." No, no, no. He loves us. He lays down his life. And he's given you an inheritance. He's given you access to privileges that are unlike the world, because you know what? It can't be destroyed. I can leave money to my child, but she can waste all that. She can lose it. You can't run out of it. You can't use it up. It can't be taken away from you. It can't be stolen. It's an amazing inheritance that you have. And what is that inheritance? I'll tell you right now. Ephesians chapter 1 says you've been given the down payment of his Holy Spirit. You've got God living in you, friends. You've got God living in your chest, underneath your skin right now. If you've believed in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted that he came back to life, and he took your sins to the grave with him and came back for new life, and you're part of that new life, Romans 6. If you believe that, you have his Holy Spirit living inside of your chest right now. You have God in you. Let him out. Amen. God is living in you right now. Right now. And that can't be taken away. You have access to all the fruit and the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Right now. And guess what? That's just a little bit. That's just a piece of what he has to offer you. It says, ear have not heard, I have not seen what the Lord has prepared for you, says in Corinthians. Oh, man. You have something stored up for you that is amazing. That is amazing. And what I love about this passage we're reading in Peter is that as much as I can sit here and tell you about this, you know, it says in verse 6, you should be exceedingly glad about this, right? You should be glad. Even though for a little while you may be distressed, right? Because let's face it, you and I, we get distressed. We have problems. We have relationships in life, and relationships automatically equal problems, you know? Then we just have... We have trying to provide for our families, trying to live, trying to stay on top of our bills. Then we have the suffering and sickness of all types of things. Then we have the things that people do to us, the way that people hurt us and harm us, have sinned against us and left us scars and marks and put us in deep pain. Then we have to live with the things that maybe we have done to somebody. We have so many things. Then we have temptations. We have addictions, things that overcome us, that we're in bondage to, that we just can't seem to shake off of our flesh. And it's so hard to be glad about this God, this Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living in you, about the abundant life that you have. It's so hard to access that when you have these trials. But what I love about this is that Peter is trying to encourage you, much like James does. And much like Jesus does in John, that these trials are not to be misunderstood. The sufferings, the temptations, the circumstances that you have, they're not to be dealt with in a way that the world deals with them. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is speaking to this church, and he's trying to say, listen, don't grieve for your loved ones that died the way the world grieves. Don't have a sorrow like they have. And if there's one thing I can say to you is that if you don't have this characteristic in abundance, you're going to let your trials, your temptations, you're going to let your circumstances completely overwhelm the presence of Jesus Christ. You're going to let it overwhelm the inheritance that you have of Him living in you, of all the good fruit that's available to you right now. If you don't have this one characteristic just abounding in you, and that, my friends, is faith. Faith, verse 7, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. The proving of your faith is intended to redound to the praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the anointed, is revealed. You see, your faith is completely connected to overcoming all these things. It says in 1 John 5 that what is it that overcomes in the world except but your faith? It's your faith that overcomes the world. Jesus Christ said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The world can be overcome. Did you know that? Did you know your circumstances could be overcome? Did you know that your temptations could be overcome? Did you know that your trials can be overcome? Did you know that your addictions can be overcome? Did you know that your marital problems can be overcome? Did you know that your relationship problems can be overcome? Do you know that all your problems can be overcome? It just takes one thing. Faith. Faith. Do you see now why they say this is better than money? This is better than silver and gold? Do you see why he says in verse 7, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested by and purified by fire? Do you understand now? We have something that can never, ever, ever be taken from us, and it's always accessible. It's faith, friends. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith in God. Your faith in what He's done for you. Your faith in this salvation that He's given you, this new life, His power in you, that is what's going to make you overcome. It says in Proverbs that if a man faints in the day of adversity, he's weak. Our problems, our suffering, is an opportunity. It says in James chapter 1 that we should be joyful. We should be excited when we get into trials, right? It sounds completely out of this world. But do you understand why he says that? He says, so the testing of your faith, it can have its perfect work in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's your faith. This whole life is about your faith. We're not always going to need faith, friends. Once we go see the Lord and we die, faith is not going to be relevant anymore because we can see Him face to face. But James can say to consider it joyful whenever we encounter trials or temptations, because he's saying, be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith is what comes out of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your faith is so valuable. And I'm challenging you today, where is your faith? Where is your faith in Jesus Christ? How strong is your faith? Do you really have faith? Or do you just have some type of head intellectual knowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Some head intellectual knowledge that the scriptures are the word of God. Some head intellectual knowledge that Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, lives in you. But do you have faith? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you had faith, you'd be able to overcome. Faith is the key. Faith. Faith, faith. Well, how do you build your faith? How do you grow your faith? It says in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. Hearing of the word of God, the word of Christ. If you want to develop a faith that can overcome the world, if you want to develop a faith that perseveres, you must be in the scriptures. You must be meditating on the written word of God, and you must be meditating on the living word of God, and that's Jesus Christ. You've got to be having this thing in front of your face all day. It says, Peter actually says it, to desire the word like the way a baby desires the pure breast milk, you know? It's like, that's what this has to be. Do you think a baby can go all day without breast milk? Anyone that's had who's had a child or been around a baby, you know that they need to have that breast milk every 2 hours. Every 2 hours they need that milk. That's how you've got to desire this word. It's so important that if you want to know Jesus Christ more, you've got to listen to his word. You've got to be in the words that he writes, his thoughts, the mind of Christ. You have it in you. We can interpret these scriptures. I can go give the scriptures to someone else who doesn't believe, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them, and they'll benefit from some of the principles. But when you have the mind of Christ, you can understand that these scriptures are alive. They're alive and they pierce like a double-edged sword, Hebrews 7. And every time you come to them, they speak differently to you and they build your faith. And they give you an understanding of God that is amazing. Your faith is what carries you in this walk. If your faith is weak, you will not last on this walk. You won't. All the intellectual knowledge, all the information won't do it. Your faith in God must be strong. It must be strong. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he'll tell you to build on that faith with virtue, to build on it with self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly love and kindness and all these different elements. But it must start with your faith. It must start with your faith. And your faith won't mean anything if you don't know what to base it on. That's why you've got to know the promises of God. You've got to understand Jesus Christ. And it starts with reading his word. And then you'll be able to be where it is in verse 6, where it says you should be exceedingly glad on this account. You can be glad in what the Lord has done for you when you begin to have faith. When you begin to really believe, oh my, wow, God loves me. And you start to say, wait, God doesn't just love me. God is in love with me. That he would orchestrate a way to make sure that I don't go to hell. That he'd orchestrate a way for him to live inside of me. Do you know that there was a time where the Lord just, he just had himself dwell in a tabernacle and people couldn't even come to him directly. They had to go to another priest. They had to go to a high priest. And some religions today still practice to have that. But that's not the truth of the gospel. God wants direct access to you and you to him. Do you understand? This faith is the only thing that's going to give you access to the promises of God, to the presence of God, to the fruit of God. It's only by faith can you access your inheritance. Can you take advantage of the power? And I'm hoping that that's what this is encouraging you to do. 1 Peter is a great, great letter, and I encourage you to read it. But just more importantly, I challenge you, where is your faith today? How have you built your faith today? Is your faith more precious to you than iPhones, salaries, mortgage, you know, just refund checks, you know? Do you understand that your faith is what carries you? Your faith in Jesus Christ is so precious. It's the only thing that's going to matter when you die. Jesus Christ is going to look at your faith in him in this life. So take care of your faith. Guard your faith. Renew it all day long, because it very easily can get extinguished. It very easily can condemn if we don't take care of it. If we don't sit in front of the word. I heard a clever little saying, 7 days without the word makes 1 week. And it's true. It really is true. You've really got to be in front of the scriptures. You've got to be in front of the scriptures. Memorize them. Have it in your mind. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible. Do you want to know what it's about? The word of God. There's something in here for every single situation you're going through. So I just encourage you to just open up this Bible. Amen. Lord Jesus, just thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for preserving them for our eyes and our hearts. Lord, I pray that people here listening would just know, God, and that you'd even remind me of how important it is to hear your word and to do it. To be obedient to it. And that's how we come to know you, God. We know you by listening to your word and obeying it. Lord, we love you in your name. Amen.